Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning, Christ United. You know what's coming. If God has been good to you, would you give him what he deserves? Man, he has been so good. We're in a series that you are going to, if anybody here has lost your joy, lost your sense of purpose, lost that thing that says, man, I just can't wait for the next day when I can get up and get started on what God's got for me, you're going to find it in this series. This series is one that is going to last a little while, then we're going to be going into a series that's radically impactful where you're going to be taking this and putting it into practice. But we're going to be talking about our unconnected friends during this series. And man, you have no idea how much that's going to do for you to reorient your thinking toward your unconnected friends. This sermon today is called Be the Best Friend Ever. Now, first of all, I just want to start with this reality. When we first come to Jesus and we first come to know his grace and the first come to know his love, you get filled with a joy that's like inexpressible. And the time when you see that joy probably the most is we have baptism services. And at those baptism services, you can see it in the faces of the people. I just want you to look, and I'm hoping if you're not listening, I hope you're able to see this either online or with us in person. But look at these images. And as you see the images of people who are being baptized, every age, every station in life, when they first come to know Jesus and know the love of God and to know their sins are forgiven and to know that everything has changed, there's a celebration that happens in the heart of those who come to know him or recommit their lives to him. And it's awesome, right? It's awesome. And as you see that joy, whether you're young, old, somewhere in the middle, there's a joy that floods your soul and your life. And that lasts. Some people, it lasts for the rest of their lives and into eternity. And for other folks, they go through times when it's like, I feel like I'm losing some of my joy. I feel like I'm losing some of the passion that I had when I first gave my life to him. I was talking to a precious sister of mine several years back, and she said, you know, I've just kind of lost that sense of, even like coming to church just feels like something that I kind of ought to do instead of something I'm excited about and passionate about. And she said, I lost some of that joy that I had early on. What was so cool is that same lady came up to me about a couple of weeks ago, and she was talking about, for those of you who weren't able to attend, some of us were, the revival at Langston Baptist Church, phenomenal experience, and people were giving their lives to Jesus, and the lives were radically being changed. And she said, you know, we went for 3 weeks straight, even with a four-month-old and a four-year-old. She said, we went for 3 weeks straight just seeing what God was doing, because there's a passion that comes into your life, and there's a joy that begins to flood your soul when you start seeing people who are far from God and don't know his love come into a relationship with him. It radically impacts you. So if you have lost in any way that sense of passion that you had, that sense of purpose, that like I've got purpose and I've got meaning, I got something that gets me off the couch and gets me out of bed, something that makes me want to be a part of this, I promise you're going to find it as you reorient your thinking in your life towards your unconnected friends. And if you've lost the joy of what it is to be a follower of Jesus, that thing that just makes you grin like you can't stop smiling, makes you want to just shout and lift your hands and celebrate what he's doing, you're going to find it as you think about your unconnected friends. And so this whole thing about being the best friend ever, by the time you leave here, I hope that'll be the driving passion of your life, that you would be the best friend ever. Because the best friend ever really gets around to this notion. The best friend ever is the friend who introduces someone to a relationship with the God who will change their forever. The reality is that the best friend you will ever know, the best friend you can ever be, is that friendship that helps somebody find Jesus. Now, this was true, and I don't have the passages on the screen because I'm going to ask you to be looking in your Bibles at John chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 26. John chapter 3, verse 26, we'll be using the New International Version, but you may see slightly different wording if you're reading a different version. But John chapter 3, it's the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll find it pretty easy. It's kind of toward the back end of your Bible. All right, and then we start in verse 26. We're going to go through verse 30. Let's get started in that. Now, look, if you've been reading your Bible every day, we've been reading the Bible together during this year. If you hadn't started, just go onto our website, log in, and start. It's cool. If you get onto Bible Gateway, it'll send you, if you sign up for the reading plan for reading through the Bible in a year, Old and New Testament version, it'll send you reminders every day. You can click on it. It'll read it to you. So it's really easy, okay? So I encourage you to start getting into the Word yourself. But if you've been doing that, you know we've been in the book of John. We've been in the Gospel of John. And being in the Gospel of John, you will remember this well, this experience of what happened. Here's what has happened. Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist. Jesus had begun his ministry. He had called his disciples. And now Jesus was in the countryside of Judea along with his disciples. And actually, he wasn't baptizing, but his disciples were baptizing. But it would appear that even Jesus was doing the baptizing, but his disciples were baptizing people. At the same time, John the Baptist, who was the one who had originally baptized Jesus, was kind of paving the way for Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, to come. John the Baptist was also still baptizing people. And baptism, in John's baptism, was a baptism of repentance. Turn away from your sin, turn to God, and be reconciled to God. Jesus was calling people to that same repentance. Turn away from your sin, turn to God, and be reconciled to God. Well, with that as the backdrop, in verse 26, John's disciples came to him, and it says that they said to him, "That man that was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one that you testified about, see, he is baptizing, and everyone is going to him." So their thinking was, in verse 26, they're expressing it, is they're going like, "Man, John, there's trouble here. This guy's outshining you right now." You know what I'm saying? And his ministry's getting bigger than your ministry, and all this stuff is happening. And John replied to that. It said, to this John replied in verse 27, "A person cannot receive, they can only receive what is given to them from heaven, from above, from God. God's the one who gives everything. Only what they receive." So I only have what I have received from God, is John's point. And so what I've received from God is this blessing and privilege to help connect people with Jesus. He goes on in verse 28 to say, "You yourselves can testify that I said I'm not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. I was just sitting here to bring you to Jesus." And then he gives this powerful, powerful analogy. Starting in verse 29, he says, "The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for the bridegroom and is filled with joy when he hears the voice of the bridegroom." And then he says, "That joy is mine, and it is now complete." Now, get this picture of what John the Baptist was saying. He was saying that my relationship to you and my relationship to all the people that I've been reaching out to, my relationship with all those around me in the world is this. Jesus is like the bridegroom. He's coming for a love relationship with these people, with the whole church, with everybody who comes into relationship with him. He's coming for a love relationship to them, and my only job is to get them to him. And if I get them to him, that's what gives me joy. How many people here have ever been asked to be a best man or a maid of honor? Anybody ever done that? Man, what an honor it is to be asked to be a best man or a maid of honor. In Judea, here was the tradition for them. In Judea, there were just two groomsmen. One attended the bride, one attended the what did I just say? No, but what do they call them in the Bible instead of groom? Bridegroom. All right, so one attended the bride and the other one attended the bridegroom. So you had two groomsmen who did that, and they took care and they attended. And what their job was to get these two together. And so if you serve as a best man, I want you to think about this. If you've ever been a best man, your job is to help connect your friend to his bride. And if I get the friend and the bride to love each other and be connected with each other, and guess what? That job doesn't stop. It didn't in Judea. The job was before the wedding, during the wedding, and after the wedding. Before the wedding, it was to get them together and to work out all the kinks and to be an intermediator between them. And then at the wedding, it was to be a part of getting them to the bride's chamber at the same time. And then afterwards, it was to make sure things went on as they should and to protect the honor of the bride. So it was really, really cool, their role that they played in that. It's a lot like that best man or that maid of honor in a relationship today. Now think about this. What would it be like if you were the best man and you were supposed to be serving that role, but what you did was you got the bride to like you? You know what I'm saying? You took all the gifts from the bridegroom, like everything. Hey, I want you to give her this necklace. But you take the necklace and give it to the bride as though it's from you. And you start telling the bride, tell her she's beautiful. And you tell her she's beautiful as though it's from you. And you get the bride to begin to love you instead of love the bridegroom. Who says that's a sorry rascal who would do that, right? Right? It's an amazing thing when Jesus has entrusted this to John the Baptist, when that was entrusted to him, the trust was, you're going to get people to fall in love with me. John would be tempted to get people to fall in love with him, and you and I are as well. We're tempted to get people to like us, and we're tempted to do everything kind of like in our own name. But what he says is, no, your role, the role of John the Baptist, was to help get people to fall in love with him. So John said to all those who were jealous of the fact that everybody was going to Jesus, he said, no, that's why I came, was to get them to fall in love with him. And in verse 30, he says, he must become greater, I must become less. Everybody get the picture? So when you think about this, that was the role. That was the role of John the Baptist, and as soon as he introduced somebody to Jesus, they took up that very same role. He introduced Andrew. Look at chapter 1 of the book of John in verse 41. John the Baptist introduced this young man named Andrew to Jesus, and Andrew started falling in love with Jesus and following Jesus, but it said the first thing that Andrew did was go and get his brother Simon and say, we found him. I want to introduce you to Jesus. So as soon as he himself came into a relationship with Jesus, his next thing was to become that best friend ever, even to his brother, to say, come, I want to introduce you to the one who will change everything. It was the same way for Philip. Look at verse 45 of chapter 1, and it says that Philip came to know Jesus because, again, John the Baptist is the one who's bringing him to get to know Jesus. But as soon as he came to know Jesus, he went and got Nathan, and he said, look, hey, I want to introduce you to someone that'll change your everything. And he did. Now, here's the thing. That role and that relationship is throughout the entire New Testament. It becomes the role for you and for me. Like Paul said of himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, he says, it's like we are Christ's ambassadors, as though he was making his appeal through us. He's saying, you see, God was reconciling the world to himself through Jesus, not counting people's sins against them. He was making them new creations, and he was reconciling us to God and then giving us the ministry of reconciliation so that we would appeal to others and say, come on, come to him, come to him. And so we are making an appeal for you to come and fall in love with the God who created you through the gift of his son, through his precious son, Jesus. We want you to know that love. And so get the picture that John the Baptist is saying, my role is to be the best friend ever. My role is to be the friend of Jesus, which Jesus is amazing. John chapter 15, Jesus said, I don't call you servants any longer. I call you my friends because I've made known the Father's business to you. I've invited you to become a part of what I'm doing to reach people with my love, right? And so he's saying, I'm calling you my friends. He is your best friend and you are his best man. He is your best friend and you are his maid of honor. You're the one that has the privilege of introducing other people to him and getting others to fall in love with him. And he trusts you with that responsibility. And he trusts you with that great, great privilege that you and I have to be those ambassadors. Here's how Paul said it, and I love this. 2 Corinthians 11:2. Paul said, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband, to Christ, that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. I just want you to fall in love with Jesus. But if I see you fall in love with Jesus, that's going to change everything. Now, y'all, that was a lot of background for this. So John then says, but guess what? Because that's my role and because that's the greatest role I could ever have. It's the greatest purpose I could ever have. But it's also the greatest joy I could ever have. Because as soon as I know Jesus is coming, I'm excited about the fact that the one I love is coming. But moreover, I'm excited about the fact that the one I love is getting ready to fall in love with you. That you are getting ready to fall in love with him. I'm going to celebrate when I see that happening. And so he said, now I'm looking at everybody flocking to Jesus, and I'm not jealous about everybody flocking to Jesus. I'm psyched about everybody flocking to Jesus. And watching people flock to him and seeing them fall in love with him is making my joy like this. He says, it's like rejoicing with joy. That's literally what it says, like, woo, 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 you know, it's awesome. I cannot get any happier than I am right now. And he said, this joy is mine and it's now complete because I'm seeing them fall in love with Jesus. So y'all, when we saw that joy on the faces of those who were baptized, I want you to know that that joy for those who are coming up out of that water and you could see it in their faces and you see the joy and the delight and the wonder, guess what? That very same joy and even more, I think, is shared by the people who love them, who were a part of seeing them come to know Jesus. There's nothing to compare to that. Let me show you an example right there. That's Scott. All right. So Scott, he's coming up out of the water and he's psyched and he's full of joy and his life has been transformed forever. But right beside him is his wife, right? And when you think about Kristen, and you look at Kristen. Kristen was already a follower of Christ. She rededicated her life to Christ that day. But she talks about seeing her husband come to know Jesus as the greatest joy. It just filled her beyond imagination. And I don't know if y'all knew it, but Kristen, having known a relationship with Christ and wanting Scott to have that relationship with Christ, she had begun to pray for him. And on the day as she's praying for him, which is so cool, Kristen was praying for Scott, and we fill out these little banners. I want to encourage you, if you hadn't done it, for somebody you love, that you go over to the crosses, and there are places where there's a basket, and you can write a name of somebody you love on one of those banners. You can leave it here on this altar, and we will hang it along the front here. But she came down one day, she filled out a banner, and put Scott's name on it because she wanted to see her husband come to know Jesus. And she had already been praying for him, but she said, I want to just fill out that banner. She filled out the banner and went down and sat down beside him. And at the end of the service that day, when she filled out the banner, Scott raised his hand. Is that awesome? But y'all, from where I am, and I know some other people who got to see it, they might even be sitting there, but they sit right up there. And I saw this guy raise his hand, and when he raised his hand, this woman, like, tackled him. You know, it's just like, boom! She just was all over him. It was beautiful. She grabbed hold of him. It looked kind of like this when he came out of the water and he was baptized, and Kristen grabbed hold of him. She said, I kissed him like the day I married him. And I asked God, I said, did it make you want to give your life to Jesus every week? You know? It was so beautiful, but the joy, and you could just feel the joy coming up in her, and you could feel the joy coming up in him, and you saw a life change forever. And so that joy that was his was also hers, right? And not just hers, but her whole family. It's just the most precious thing. This is a picture of them at Easter. Are they adorable or what? The little guy's name is Holden, right? He's like 3 years old. And then that Skyla, who's somewhere around 5 years old. And you know what? They were telling me, like, little Holden, he's already loving Jesus. He's already, if they don't pray, like, at night, he says, we haven't prayed yet, you know? And he prays himself. God, thank you for all your blessings. And all God's kiddos said, amen, you know? He's, like, getting psyched about his relationship with God, even at a young age. And it's so cool with this being an Easter picture, that little Skyla, what her mom said, Kristen said that Skyla, just watching what God is doing in her daddy's life and in her life and what she's learning in our backyard ministry and all that's happened here, she said, you know, when it came to Easter, she was all over it. She knew the whole story about what Jesus had done. And she said, and she was on it. Like, she would just engage anybody and tell them the story, you know what I'm saying, and tell them what Jesus had done. And she's sharing that. She's already serving in that beautiful place, right, introducing her friends to a relationship with the one who can change their everything. So I just want to ask you, would you like to have that kind of joy going on in your life, right? Would you like to be a person? Because here's the thing. Is it? It's obviously not just your family. It's the people you work with. It's the people in your neighborhoods. It's the people you go to school with. God has called you and privileged you and blessed you to be in a position to be the best friend ever to the people around you in your life. And he has entrusted you to say, I want you to bring them to me. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. He's the one who's going to save their life. He's the one that's going to bring meaning and purpose and joy to them. He's the one who laid down his life for them. He's the one who's done it all. But he says, I'm going to give you the joy and privilege of introducing them to me. And as you introduce them to me, I promise you, their joy will be your joy. And your life will never lack joy. Your life will never lack purpose and passion. And that sense of what it's all about will never die in you as long as you realize that every friend, every connection that God has brought you in your life is an opportunity for him to use you to be the best friend ever in their life. And if you're wondering, how in the world do I do that? That's what we're going to be talking about. That's what we're going to be doing over the next several weeks. You're going to learn very clearly and very simply and very powerfully how you can be the best friend ever to someone and help bring them into that relationship, help connect them to the one that they really belong to ultimately. And so, guys, I just want to say this, that it is definitely not just, like, you know, I told you I watched Kristen grab hold of Scott. I remember watching a guy give his life to Christ right over here one morning, and it happens over and over again, but a guy lifted his hand over here, and I saw the fellow like three rows away from him who realized that it was his friend that he had been praying for. That guy got up, ran over to him, threw his arms around him. It was just awesome. He did not kiss him like he married him. I'm glad of that. But he looked like he could have. You know what I'm saying? He was like, man, I'm just so psyched because you, this guy, I've been loving and praying for. I was looking back over the baptism pictures, and I started looking for people like, you know, one guy I've been praying for over a year that I work out with that was being baptized. And this young lady that I've been praying for about 6 years, a young mother that was being baptized. And these aren't relationships with me as a pastor. They're relationships like yours, your friends around you, the people. And I'm going like, God, there is nothing to compare to watch people that you love and you have the privilege of being an influence in their life to see their lives forever changed by Jesus. Man, it's joy on top of joy, and God never wants that joy to end ever. And so what I want to ask you is this. I want to ask you who you're going to influence. We're going to have a baptism on the 29th of July. I want to know who's going to be in the water because of you. Who's going to be in the water? Jesus, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The truth is, Jesus is the one who's going to love them into a relationship. He's the one who's going to change them, but he's blessed you to be in the position of the best friend ever. Who's going to be in the water because of you? Who are you going to be able to say, man, I got to attend them. You know what I'm saying? I got to be a part of seeing them come to know Jesus. I promise you, stay in here. Stay at it. Stay committed to the reality that that's why you're on the planet. If not, he would have just taken you to heaven the moment you gave your life to him. There's no other reason for you to be here. You understand that? There's no other reason for you to be here. You might as well just go on to heaven. The only reason you're here is to serve as the best friend ever. It's to connect people with the one who gave them life. And he wants to see that happen in your life like it did with this guy. This is one of the guys who was baptized that day. And if you've never met Joe, man, you love Joe. Joe's an awesome guy. And And Joe was a guy who had dear friends that loved him a lot. Like one of those guys is Josh Mahaffey. And Josh Mahaffey just loved him. And he and his wife, Lauren, were praying for him, knowing that he may have already been committed to Christ or may not have, but just cared deeply for him and cared deeply for his wife. And so they're praying for him. Josh invited him to start playing softball. He starts playing softball, and here's his own testimony. Joe said, man, I used to be like hard-nosed. You know, he said, I was just like kind of get angry and just upset about stuff all the time. He said, and I started playing softball with these guys who are Christians, and I started noticing such a difference in them, especially in Randy Stewart. You know, he said, Randy would just, instead of cutting us down for bad plays, he'd say, you'll get it next time. You know, he said, and I was going like, I want to be like that. And Joe, ultimately, through the relationships were to develop because there was a friend, Josh, who just said, come join a softball team and connect with some guys who love Jesus and connect with the Jesus that they love. And he did. He connected with Jesus, and it brought him a brand new life. Everything changed. He was saying, man, you know what's so beautiful about this relationship that I found with Jesus? He said, now I'm serving as an EMT, and I've got a chance to share that same faith with other people. Josh was telling me that all the brothers in the softball team talk about how much joy they get out of seeing Joe reach his own friends and share with them that he wants them to pray for people that he knows that need to know the love of Jesus. Isn't that a cool thing? So what would it be like to be Josh? I asked Josh, I said, what was it like for you on the day when you saw Joe baptized? He said, I'll never forget it. I remember it like it was yesterday. He said, I actually walked him out into the water, he said, and I just can't, I'll never forget it. He said, it was better than seeing somebody hit a double. And I thought, that was pretty cool, right? Better than somebody hitting a grand slam, right? He said, it was just beautiful to see God. And he said, what's even more beautiful is to watch God at work in Joe's life as time goes on and the difference that God is making in his life. And so he took the next step. Y'all remember the bridegroom, what do you call that person again? The groomsman. The groomsman, there's a lot of things to remember, okay? So the groomsman has that job before the wedding, during the wedding, and after the wedding. And so even after the wedding, you know, Josh is inviting Joe to be in a C group with him, and Joe's in a C group with him and another brother, and they're growing together, and they move ahead, and now Joe's stepping out to do even more. So y'all get the picture? God's just saying, I want you to do that. I want to know who you're going to walk with and who you're going to see God change his life. And what's cool about Joe is that Joe is not alone either. This is Becky. And again, if you haven't met Becky, Becky just happened to be married to him and a dear, dear friend of Lauren Mahaffey. And they went to college together. And she just said, I care dearly for this person. And I love this person. And she invited her to our women's ministry. And here's what Becky's own testimony is about just having a friend who invited her into the women's ministry and just loved her and cared about her. Wasn't that she loved her for years, right? And as she invited her into that ministry, she said, I started meeting some really cool people like Shirley Schimmel and like Marcia Murphy, and started working for Marcia, and I started just seeing this difference in the lives of those women that were around me. But she said this, she said, that relationship, so relationships that I found and what I found during that women's Bible study, she said, it literally saved my life. She said, I was saved by that. It changed everything in my life. We find out that when someone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. When you're baptized, it's like laying down an old life, like an old life laid down and then rising up to live a new life. And as she rose up to live that new life, she said, these guys brought me into a different life. She said, so much so that my friends, the way she said it was, she said, my friends would tell me they could hardly even recognize the person I was because God did such beautiful things in my life, transforming me. How many of you would like to be Lauren and see that precious woman coming up out of the water and saying, you know, I got to be her friend. I got to be her friend. And I got to introduce her to other people who introduced her to Jesus. Guys, that's joy right there. There's going to be a baptism on July 29th. I want to know who's going to be coming up out of the water that you're going to look and say, dag, I got to attend them. I got to just be a part of helping bring them to Jesus. I want to tell you, you start doing that, it changes everything. Literally changes everything. So when you think about these guys and their relationship with Jesus after having come to Christ and having given their lives to Him, again, the job didn't stop there in terms of walking with them. I love what both of them said to me about after having come fully surrendered to Christ and having begun to walk it out more fully than they ever had in their lives. They said, then you got people like the Dentons, like Craig and Debbie Denton. She said that they're like family to me, like surrogate parents, Joe and Becky said. They said they've loved us and they've encouraged us, and there are other people around us that are helping to build into our lives. Wouldn't you like to be that kind of friend to somebody? That somebody would look back and say, man, they're like family to me, and they've helped me to grow in this relationship with God. All right, guys, so who wants to be, besides me, like the best friend ever? Would you like to be a part of that? Would you like to do that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't care how old you are or how young you are, this is your role. This precious little girl who was baptized that same day and her sister, some of you know that baby, all right? But I know the family. I know the young ladies who are friends of theirs that help just be there to connect them to the ones that would connect them to Jesus. And to know the joy that was in the family when those girls were down there on that beach seeing what was happening in the lives and hearts of those who were their best friends. Man, it was like joy inexpressible in the process. So I just want to ask you, are you going to be that kind of best friend? And it could be people you work with. It could be people that you go to school with. It could be your neighbors. It could be your family members. It could be somebody that's in your family that God's called you to be the best friend ever to. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about how to reach them during this series. How do you reach your family? Does that sometimes feel like a hard thing to do? But how do you reach out to your own family members? Whether it's sons or daughters or mothers or fathers or brothers or sisters or wives and husbands, those are hard to reach, right? We're going to talk about that. It's going to be so cool. How many people would like to see that happen like it did here for this dude? Yeah. So what's it like for Lance to hold his son Julian's hand and to know that he has new life in Christ? And to know that he and his wife Ashley were praying and God moved and he brought their precious son from death to life, from lost to found. See that. Who here wants to see that? Who here wants to see that so much in the lives of people that you love? That you want that joy and that privilege so much that you would begin to make it a focus of your life. From this point forward at Christ United, there will never be a service that starts or ends without us calling attention to these lost people. Those who are unconnected, maybe have a relationship with God, but have no one building into their lives and caring for them, or maybe have no relationship with God whatsoever. But our unconnected friends are going to begin to drive our hearts, because that's why you and I are still here, is for them. And we get the privilege of being that kind of friend to those people. Now, I'm going to end with this as the praise team comes out. You may have been invited here by somebody, and I just want to tell you, if you were, there's not an assumption about whether you have a relationship with Jesus or don't, but somebody loved you enough to say, I want to connect you with people who love Jesus, so that if you already love Him, you can grow in that relationship, and if you don't yet know Him, that you can come to know Him. Somebody loved you a lot if they invited you here. And guess what? You may have shown up and not even realized it, that somebody's been praying for you, and you just felt this compulsion to be here, and you realize today that, wait a minute, somebody's been praying for me. And somebody's been a part of bringing me here. So I just want to tell you this truth. We have the privilege of being like Christ ambassadors, appealing to you and saying, come on, be reconciled to God. Come on, just turn away from sin, turn to Him, and let Him wash away everything and make your life brand new. And today, as we invite people to come forward to this altar to pray for their unconnected friends, you may be the unconnected friend. And I invite you to come along with others who are coming to pray, and you kneel down and you say, "Today, God, I want you to save me. I want you to forgive me of all my sin. I want you to come into me and begin a new life in me. I want to be at that baptism in July for me. I want to lay down an old life and rise to a new," and we invite you to come. For everybody else, I pray that you love somebody enough to get here to the altar and beg God to let you be their best friend ever. We invite you to stand.
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.